Links Radio Sport.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. There is a postponement to tell you about in this evening's football action. St John's versus Ayr in JCK Limited Combination 2 is off. That has been postponed. But a mouth-watering encounter awaits us in the Canada Life Premier League tomorrow. The Spaniards meet the Saints as two undefeated sides aim to gain an edge early on in the season. Vagabonds could end the weekend top of the tree in Lancashire Cheshire Division 2 rugby. And as it seems to be every week, there is another massive game in Manx hockey's top flight. It's Friday Sport on Manx Radio. And Fastamai, good evening to you. Welcome to the all-new time slot for Friday Sports. Same old trusty look, though, like sandals and socks. It might not be for everyone, but it works for us. We'll begin this evening by taking a look at the biggest matches in hockey this weekend in the top flight, as it has been for the past couple of weeks. There's a pretty big game in the battle for survival. Sam Spooner, Manx Radio's hockey correspondent, is in the studio, sounding quite husky this evening. Good evening to you, Sam. I'll turn your microphone right up because your voice is suffering a little bit this week.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Oh, it's a mixture between Christian Bale's Batman and Darth Vader, I think, there. But good evening to you, Sam. It hasn't detracted from your homework for this weekend in the hockey. Let's begin in the Rossborough Mixed Premier League, because it is another huge game, as it seems to have been every week for the past couple. Castletown Celts against Vikings B this weekend. Many tipped these two to be involved in that relegation scrap before a ball was even hit this season. Vikings B had a fantastic start, but they have been dragged back into the mire in recent weeks, and they could be level on points at the bottom with Celts should they lose this weekend.
Yeah, it's a really important game for Castletown Celts this weekend. If they win, they put them right back in the fight for survival, but if they lose, they go 4 points behind, and it's going to be a really tough ask to find another 4 points this weekend for them. This year, for them to survive. They did get the result against Vikings' first team, so you've always got to be careful with that Celt side. They were obviously capable of a result like that, and they're capable of beating anybody if they can beat Vikings A.
I mean, they will take real confidence from that victory, but it didn't go to plan for them last week, did it? Because they lost to Ramsey A by 6-2. So, I mean, they don't seem to have a problem in scoring goals. They've got that striker in Robin Masson, who seems to be on target most weekends. But at the back, it's looking incredibly leaky for them, and they have to tighten up if they're to stand any chance of survival.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some strong defenders in there. Lisa Cook's the obvious one. But there looks to be a couple of new additions to that defensive line this year. So they are getting used to each other a bit more. Mark Bratt hasn't featured, I don't think, for the Celts team this year, so that's one massive defender that there isn't playing there anymore. But yeah, I think with the Celts side, they always threaten going forward. And if the goalkeepers, I mean, Zara Sweeney's played some first team games this year and she's been outstanding. And then they've had Jay Patel come in for the Vikings A game, who probably had the game of any goalkeeper this season, from the stories I've been told from that game. So Celts are at risk, so they're going to come out like a wounded animal tomorrow, and Vikings B could be on the opposite side of a backlash.
If Ramsey A were to lose as well against Vikings A, and I mean, it has been a bit topsy-turvy for Vikings A over recent weeks, but I think you would tip them to get back to winning ways tomorrow. So if Ramsey A were to lose and Celts were to beat Vikings B, there would be three teams at the bottom of the division on 4 points. That is incredibly tight, and it's anyone's guess as to who will be that one team who suffers relegation.
Yeah, and it'd be harsh for any of the sides to suffer relegation given the entertainment they provided this year in the Premier League. The other interesting thing to note is that Vikings B could actually go into third place this weekend, depending on other results between Vikings A and Ramsey A and Backers A and Valkyries A. In theory, if Ramsey beat Vikings A, they could go into second place with a superior goal difference. I mean, a level on goal difference at the minute. So they would probably go ahead. They would go ahead if they beat Vikings A. That was a real tight game last time. I think Vikings came out on top 3-2. But given Vikings' sort of resurgence against Backers A last week, I think it's safe to say real tight game, showed real tight attacking intent. I don't think Ramsey are going to have the strength to overcome Vikings A this weekend. But this, the results this weekend could open this league right up.
I think it's already very much wide open. Who are you tipping to get the points tomorrow? Do you see it being a stalemate and nothing to separate the sides between Vikings B and Celts?
You know that I'm involved in that game tomorrow. I don't want to tempt fate, but on the balance of probability and the results that have happened in the past this year, you'd have to say Vikings B edge the favourites tag slightly. I keep looking back at that result that they had against Vikings A. They're probably the surprise result of the past 10 years. And that one's probably going to be, a wounded animal. I can't count Celts out, but Vikings B edged the favourites tag just.
It would be absolutely remarkable if Celts were to have registered a win against Vikings A, the reigning champions, and then to go and get relegated and that be their only win of the season. And it could happen. I mean, that is quite remarkable. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, but that is arguably the game of the day in the Rossborough Mixed Premier League tomorrow. Vikings B against Castletown Celts, elsewhere Bacchus A against Valkyries A, and Vikings A against Ramsey A, as we have mentioned. In Rossborough Mixed Division 1 tomorrow, another battle, this time towards the right end of proceedings in the second tier. Saracens Sabres against Valkyries B. Sabres have to start this one as favourite, Sam.
They do, but since Valkyries lost the opening game of the season, they've remained unbeaten. And that's with a draw against Bacchus B, which are two strong sides going head-to-head, and then three wins against Bacchus C, Harlequins A and Ramsey Ravens. That the team they had out on the first day of the season, I can't believe was a completely full-strength side. Because that side that Valkyries B's got out now is just unbelievably strong. You got Andrew Littlejohns, Chris Caldwell, Dave Hall, Neil Jacobs. These are all players that were playing in the Premier League last year and have all played for the Island squads. And for me, Valkyries B could be a huge threat to Saracens this year. If Valkyries can beat Saracens this weekend, it becomes a one-point title race. And although Saracens would be expected to continue to go on, they'll be looking at that back. But Valkyries will be looking at Bacchus B to maybe steal a point off them as well. Hopefully two, and then Valkyries are right back in the title fight. If Valkyries don't win this weekend, then it's literally only Bacchus B that can capture them, because that puts Saracens 5 points ahead of Valkyries B, and it's hard to see them losing 5 points. But in reality, any sort of win for Saracens this year, I think, nails them on for the title.
The calibre of player you just mentioned there for Valkyries B, in any other season, you would imagine that they would be crowned champions and they would seal promotion to the top flight. But does that just tell you how good this Saracens Sabres side are? 39 goals scored, only two conceded. That is absolutely fantastic from their point of view. And if they can continue that, they'll open up the gap even more tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think, it's just extraordinary. I mean, 17 goals have come from George Powell. And he's top goal scorer in the league. The second top goal scorer in the league is joint between Sophie Howland and Scott Mason. Both Saracens players are 6 goals. So George has scored 11 goals more than anybody else. But you can see they don't necessarily over-rely on him for goals. They've got goals throughout. I think there's 5 top goal scorers in the top 10 that are Saracens players. So they've got goals throughout their squad. But when you look at Valkyries B as well, they've scored 19 goals and conceded 4 in 5 games. That's not a bad record either. In a normal season, that would be considered pretty good and probably promotion candidates on that sort of form. So Saracens just having an extraordinary season this season. And the past couple of years, you can see they've been knocking on that door. They couldn't quite overcome Vikings B last year in the promotion race. This year, they've just matured that little bit more and they have just demolished anybody in their path. Tomorrow, though, will be a much harder ask for them against Valkyries B.
They have been oozing confidence so far this season, but if they were to slip up against Valkyries B tomorrow, do you think the seeds of doubt would be planted there in the mindsets of those Saracens players? And again, it could make it a really entertaining end to the season.
I think the thing with the Saracens players are that it's a very young side, so they don't have any fear. And yes, it might knock their confidence slightly, but come the weekend after, they won't have any fear about facing anybody again. They'd face Bacchus A if they could this week. Just because they want to play everybody, they want to fight against the best, and a loss won't knock them back.
Well, Sam Spooner, thank you very much for joining us. I think we applaud your effort for coming in when your voice isn't at full strength. Hopefully it will be back on top form tomorrow. But Sam Spooner, Manx Radio's hockey correspondent, thank you very much for now. Let's talk rugby with Dave Christian.
Manx Radio Sport.
And before we get stuck into the weekend's fixtures, there are a couple of postponements to tell you about. They come in the Manx Shield. Douglas Celts against Vagabonds Hornets. That was due to be played at Portishead this weekend, quarter past two kickoff. That has been postponed, as has Southern Nomads against Ramsey B. That one was supposed to kick off at King William's College at the same time in the Manx Shield, but that one has also gone. Just quickly, before we get into the previews of the matches that are going ahead, Dave Christian, good evening to you. Why have they been postponed?
Well, we've got an issue, I think, with Vagabonds and Douglas Celts. Vagabonds struggling with getting the side out. Plus, of course, down at Portishead, we have had a lot of water on it. I haven't been down to have a look myself, but I suspect there could be a little bit of pitch protection creeping in there. And certainly, you saw the Nomads and Ramsey B, King William's College, are quite rightly as well fastidious about their pitch. And I think Ramsey also struggling for a side as well. So we'll get some more information over that over the weekend and see if we can't establish when the games will be played, or whether or not the two lesser sides there, Ramsey B and Vagabonds, because on form you would fancy Nomads and Douglas would win those games both quite comfortably. We'll see whether the games will be played at a future date.
It's important not to damage the pitch too much for future matches in the season. Anyway, Douglas are at home to Broughton Park in North One West this season. Douglas currently fourth. Can they get a big win at home this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you look at that league table, Chris, with Douglas in fourth, Broughton Park are 11th. But there is only 5 points between them. In fact, 4 points between them. There's just one match. It is incredibly tight. There's three teams at the bottom, Bowden, Warrington and Keswick, that are just starting to fall away from the rest of the pack. But pretty much everybody in that top 11 is within touch of a top four place right now. So it's important for Douglas to get a win here just to make sure they start to build a little gap between them and the rest of the chasing pack. And of course, Burnage right behind Douglas, only a point away, and Penrith, who Douglas have beaten at Penrith, up there in third place. So it's a great opportunity for Douglas maybe to steal a place this weekend as well, but it will all need to come from a win at Portishead. They've been on great form recently, wins away at Penrith, they nilled Stockport at Portishead, so they've got a nice little run just starting to build, and with the division as tight as it is, they need to keep the pressure on. Some squad changes for them too. They've got a little bit of a mess around in the forwards and in the back line. Carl Murray, Bryn Snellgrove are all going to be sitting out. Sean Wiley's going to continue his run at 9. James Madrell comes into the squad at 15 to replace the injured Carl Murray. And Paul Leavers is going to drop into the pack. He's going to anchor the scrummage together there in the second row with Jordan Hogan. Neil Killier got bruised ribs. He's going to sit out this week as well. So a few changes there for Douglas just to get to grips with. But all in all, it's going really well for them. And if pitch conditions are heavy, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a hard day at the office for the front five in particular. But if they can establish plenty of clean ball for that Douglas back line, they're going to cause everybody problems. And I expect them to win. Whether or not they get maximum points, that could be largely in the hands of the weather gods, because we got a lot of rain coming through tonight. But fingers crossed for Douglas for a home win. And that game at Portishead kicks off at 2 o'clock.
Bryn Snellgrove has been a notable absentee for Douglas in quite a few recent matches. He's very valuable to the success that Douglas have. Are you aware of if it's a long-term injury which is keeping him out, or is it just a lack of availability?
No, I think it's a combination. I think Mrs. Snellgrove is due to give birth very shortly, so baby on the way. And I know he's been injured as well. He's just starting to rebuild fitness. Had a run out with the second team last week, kicked a couple of conversions. So it's all starting to build up nicely for him. But he will be a very welcome addition once he's back into the squad.
Moving into Lancashire Cheshire Division 1 then, Ramsey against Ellesmere Port this weekend. Ramsey have had a tough time of things of late, but they're coming up against a team this weekend who they came up with last season.
Yeah, I mean, I described their start to the season as somewhat inauspicious. I think that's probably an understatement. It's been absolutely terrible, shipping over 50 points a game on average. Only bright spark in it was a Manx Cup win against Southern Nomads way back in September, and that was a sub-strength Nomads as well. So difficult to gauge where their form really is. We know that the league contracted with the Lancashire clubs exiting. We know that the Division 1 is containing some sides that were a lot higher than Ramsey were expecting to be playing this season. Ellesmere Port, though, are a team that they played twice last season. Ramsey and Ellesmere Port were the two teams that were promoted at the end of the season. So Ramsey beat Ellesmere Port home and away then last season. So going to be probably a little bit more confident going into this game than they have been against some of the others. Some changes as well. Last year's talisman, Dan Bonwick, he's back available now for home matches. He's going to line up at outside centre tomorrow. David Keenan back into the squad. He's been out for a shoulder injury for a long, long time. And we've got Micheál Flynn back into the front row as well, just to help shore that up. So a few changes to the team, but by and large, it's the same sort of team that's been put out for the last few weeks. And if this team isn't able to beat Ellesmere Port, then Ramsey will be looking for it's going to be a very long and challenging season. That said, the players will start to adapt to the slightly quicker pace of the game, and I think the results should improve as the season progresses. But I think with the way the points have been going in at the other end in the last few games, you have to start Ellesmere Port as favourites for this one.
In Lancashire, Cheshire 2, though, it's a big weekend for Vagabonds. Again, they are at home this weekend, and they could finish the weekend top of the tree if they beat leaders Oswestry this weekend.
Yeah, Vagas take a bonus point here. They'll go to 19 points. Oswestry are on 17, so they'll definitely go ahead. And the two sides in between, Oswestry top, Vagabonds fourth, two sides in between, Port Sunlight and Old Bedians, are playing each other. And the draw clearly would be the ideal result for Vagabonds, but that doesn't happen very often. Although, having said that, Oswestry drew with Liverpool University earlier this season already. So they've dropped some points that perhaps they were going to regret maybe come the end of the season. But for Vagabonds, home opportunity, they're going to fancy their chances. Oswestry, it's a difficult place to get to when you're in the UK, so the Oswestry players will have a very early start to make sure they get to the airport in time, and they're going to be away early as well to get back to the United Kingdom, so everything's going to be in a bit of a rush for them tomorrow, and that is going to upset their match day rhythm, and hopefully Vagabonds will be able to take advantage of that. Rob Keelan back from holiday, he's going to be so important for Vagabonds, whether they play him in the second row or the back row. A big player around the park, really mobile, aggressive and strong as well. Great ball carrier. So to have Rob miss him for a couple of weeks when the games didn't get played, a big boost for Vagabonds. He'll be back in and fresh and hungry as well. So that's the sort of big team news for Vagabonds. They've not had much game time though in recent weeks, so it's difficult really to say who's going to get the best out of it. But having said that, Oswestry have been disrupted. They've had a walkover against Ruskin Park, I think it was, the same as Vagabonds did. So Ruskin Park obviously struggling in that league, having conceded a couple of fixtures already for not being able to field the team. So be interested to see how it goes. I think Vagabonds are good enough to get promoted this season. Whether or not they can build on it if they did get promoted is a different kettle of fish, because we've seen how tough Ramsey are finding it. But tomorrow we should see a Vagabonds win.
And final preview from yourself, Dave, this evening in Women's NC Northwest 1. Vagabonds ladies will be breathing a huge sigh of relief, won't they, that they've seen the back of Catherine Crane. They host Broughton Park this weekend.
Yeah, they've still got an away game against Sale 1861, and Catherine Crane getting all five tries last week. I'm sure that if they'd realised that, they would have upped that transfer fee in the close season. Broughton Park, the visitors, they're 2-2, and with a huge points for and against difference, 134 plus they are. They've only conceded 15 points in their two matches. Having said that, that tail of the stats a little bit misleading. The two games that Broughton Park have played against the bottom two sides, Ashfield and Burnley, and this is their first real test. And I suspect Corinna Daly will have those girls revved up tomorrow. It's a 2:15 kickoff there at Bala Fletcher, and I think the Vagabonds ladies, their defence was immense last week against Sale. Yes, they conceded 33 points, but it was 7-3 at half time. Absolutely nothing in it. And some of those Sale tries in the second half, or some of those Catherine Crane tries in the second half, came from Vagabond's unforced errors. And they can cut those out. They've got a very, very tight defence. I suspect they're going to give Broughton Park a real game of it.
Dave Christian, thanks very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
Tony Meppham is in the studio to discuss the weekend's football action now, and it's the Spaniards against the Saints at Croit Lowy, Russian against St Mary's again, two undefeated teams. And Tony, this is one of the heavyweight clashes we've been waiting for in the Canada Life Premier League so far this season.
We've had to be patient, haven't we, because it's just the way the fixtures have turned out, and there's some juicy ones coming up most weeks now, so we'll get a better picture, because at the moment it's here, there and everywhere. But, you know, Russian last week made hard work of it a little bit towards the end against Laxey, because Mikey Williams with that goal a couple of minutes into extra time. There's been all sorts of debate going on at the start of the week of how much extra time he played, but check with the referee, or I had spoken to him, and also Kev Maitland as well, that there was 3 minutes, 57 seconds extra played, which was the entitlement of the way the game had gone. So well done to everyone involved in that one. They got it absolutely spot on. But Russian, it was one of those ones that they were leading. They looked comfortable. And then it all sort of went a little bit against them at the start of the second half. So against St Mary's, great result last week, probably expected. Frank Jones will return. He was away last weekend. Jack McVeigh in great form with a couple, three goals from midfield. And when you look at the other players that are in there, then it's pointing towards a real good game. But I think St Mary's should just be able to edge it.
Yeah, Russian, they drew against Peel in the Old Firm 2-2. They were left it late against Laxey last week to get all 3 points. But St Mary's have had no such problems, have they? 9-1 winners against Douglas Royal last week. 4 wins from 4 for them. If they make it a fifth, it'll be a continuation of a perfect start for them.
Yeah, and Alex is tinkering with the team as well, because I don't think he's had any choice with players being away and everything else. And Darren Hudson's back in there now. He was there last week. And when you look at sort of the players that they've got, then you can understand why they're one of the favourites to win the league. But Russian is never really an easy place, as Peel found out a couple of weeks ago, to go to, because, you know, they played ever so well in the second half. And, you know, Russian, as we've touched on a couple of times, the start of the season, bit of unknown quantity, but I think they're right in it now. And with the Railway Cup positions hotting up a little bit, then we'll wait and see how they go against St Mary's. There'll be a good crowd, there always is. And I'm pretty certain that St Mary's faithful will go down as well to see if they can take the points away from Russian and keep the pressure on the other clubs to try and get the points to keep them at the top of the table.
It's Peel against Laxey this weekend. We know that Laxey have been somewhat of a surprise package in the top flight, so Peel will have to be on their best if they're to get all 3 points from this one.
Yeah, I think to be fair to Peel in this one, I think certainly tomorrow they're going to have to change things around a little bit, because I think there's one or two players not available, but they've got a strong combination side, so there won't be any problem in that. I would think certainly midfield will be Dan Bell. Matthew Woods will probably be in there as well. We know what's going to go left and right. It'll be Lee Gale right-hand side, Dan Simpson on the left. And then through the middle, it'll be Reece Oates, and it's just who partners him, because Ryan Holdaway is a big option for them, because he's a very strong player. Defensively, Tom Wood is still absent. He's still struggling with an injury. I think they've just got to just cover that position. Daniel Lace has done a really good job in there. Eric Kelly will probably play right-hand side, and then in the middle, it'll be whoever is available. I know Joel Callow's, you know, been in there playing really well, but I believe there's one or two sort of possibilities of what they're going to do with the team. But certainly against Laxey, give them credit. Absolutely superb what they've done. You know, the four easier games that they had at the start of the season, they won them so convincingly that you just thought to yourself, what's going on here? And then last week, to be fair, I think a few of us thought that this is the big test for them. Let's see how they do. And they did really well. Jordan Cooper's on fire with a couple of goals for him last week. Sean Gavin got the other one. But Laxey are playing well. And when you're playing with confidence, Chris, it can all click together very, very easily. And I think one or two sort of player supporters know that Peel are going to have to be at the top of the game